Chapter 22. Fatigue. "Look at that thing," Georgia Boy said, pointing at the truck that was one of the new vehicles being unloaded for our motor pool. Its dented fenders and worn upholstery were only some of the signs of its age. "I think my grandpa done drove it in World War I. Ain't nothing that us Marines can't patch up, is there?" I nodded my head and rubbed my sore shoulder. I'd just gotten back from Hawaii. I hadn't been on leave, but in the hospital, and I knew just what he meant. He wasn't just talking about trucks. As always, we Marines in the Pacific got things after the Army was through with them. Most of our tanks and trucks were more than second-hand by the time they reached us. But our mechanics always just patched up the outsides, tuned up the insides, and then repainted the Marine Corps camouflage green. Truth be told, we Marines were kind of fond of those old used vehicles. We had a lot in common with them. We, too, were always being patched up, dropped somewhere, and told to do the best we could with what we had. And we did it. When we weren't sending or receiving messages, we Navajo code talkers also did what had to be done. If stretcher bearers were needed, we were stretcher bearers. If people were thirsty, we were water carriers. But those battles took much out of us, grandchildren. We needed time to rest before we were ready to go into combat again. And about the only time we were given even a little vacation was when we'd been hurt in action, as I had been. During the last few days of fighting on Guam, I'd gotten my own chance for one of those little vacations. A few enemy soldiers who refused to give up were still left in the jungle. One of them was a sniper who caught me in his sights. One moment, I had been walking along. The next, I heard a sound like the buzzing of an angry bee just as something slapped me on my shoulder. It felt like someone hit me with the palm of his hand, but when I looked at my shoulder, I saw blood welling out and felt my knees getting weaker. "Medic!" somebody was yelling. It took me a minute to realize the voice was Smitty and that Georgia Boy had picked me up off the ground and was carrying me at a dead run. I tried to make a wisecrack about him mistaking me for a football, but blacked out before I could say it. When I woke up, there was a bright light in my eyes, and somebody was digging into my shoulder with a scalpel. I was in the operating room on a ship. I only got a small wound from that bullet. It passed through pretty cleanly without hitting much else before it came out the other side. It was easy for the medic to patch me up. My shoulder hardly even got stiff from it, although I do feel it now on winter nights. It's hardly worth mentioning. I speak of it only to explain why I was forced to head for Hawaii, while other men who fought harder than I did carried on. Not everyone, though, could carry on. Some of the men on the hospital ship with me didn't have any visible wounds, but were badly hurt. They had kept going forward until not just their bodies were worn out, but their spirits. They hadn't been physically wounded, but now were unable to do anything. Some just stayed in bed and cried. Some sat up babbling words with no meaning while tearing at their own hair and clothing. Others just stared off into space. The name the armed forces gave to that sickness of the mind and spirit was battle fatigue. It was hard for some people to understand, especially those who'd never been in combat. Some even accused those men of being fakers and cowards. But we Navajos understood it well. Our ancestors saw what war does to human beings. When we must fight other humans, injure and kill them, we also injure a part of ourselves. Our spirits become sick from contact with the enemy. Long, long ago, even the holy people suffered from this. It happened that way after the sacred twins were given the thunder bow and the arrows of lightning by their father, the sun. Monster Slayer used those arrows to destroy the monsters that had been devouring the people. He killed the giant, Yeitso. He killed the monster who kicked people off the cliff, the horned monster, the monster birds, the eyes that kill, the rolling rock, and many other awful beings. The only terrible beings that even Monster Slayer was unable to kill were those that still attack us all. Those ones are poverty, old age, and hunger. But when Monster Slayer was done with destroying enemies, he became ill himself. Killing those enemies had made him sick, so the first enemy way ceremony was done to cure him by restoring him to balance. After Guadalcanal and Bougainville and Guam, I too felt tired and sick from war. But there was little opportunity for me to give in to fatigue. As soon as my physical wounds were better, I was shipped back to the line. More battles lay ahead before any of us could seek the healing of an enemy way. That old truck and I belonged to the Marines, and we had to go back into battle.